Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Now on with the live show from Melbourne.
Woo! We didn't plan that, but that was pretty good, Jess.
That's awesome.
Hello! Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome down to our final live show here at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. How you doing? It. My name is Dave Warnocky, and let's face it, good things come in threes. So let's give it up for two more people. It's Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
I was stalling a little bit because Matt had walked the other way, and I was like, he's not coming. All right.
I totally thought you were just showing off, and because you definitely got a much bigger applause than Matt and I, okay?
That's to be expected.
Yes, it totally is.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for noticing the haircut.
Wait, what? Oh. She actually messaged us the other day saying, I'm getting a haircut.
I warned them now, and they still nothing.
Yeah, I was just with Jess for 3 hours before she said anything, and I was like, really? But now you're in stage lighting, it looks at least half a centimetre shorter. It's amazing. Yeah. It is.
Well done. Well
it's fantastic.
Done. All right.
Oh, we're sitting down.
There's a table there now. That's handy.
Did she tell you as well?
No.
All right.
Katie just cares.
You're making us look bad, Katie.
Yeah. Sure. Most of you didn't notice, right? Did you notice my haircut? All right, good, because I didn't fucking have one. All right. Good.
You got him.
Yeah, totally. Well, no, I thought I was going
to... Does your hair change? Can it change? That's a hat. I always assumed that was a hat.
Look, you say, can it change? But you've commented on my past haircuts that it makes you feel sick to look at it.
Yeah, those old weird hair hats you used to wear. Yeah. No good.
Okay, this is hair hat number two. It's much... Some people have said it looks at least half a centimetre better. At least.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we scale things on Do Go On. Anyway, great to be here. Matt, are you good? You're doing a report today. And did anyone notice as you were coming in? I mean, the show has started 5 minutes late and still Matt was writing the report, sitting right there.
I was improving the report.
What,
subtle difference.
Improving it by writing it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's in my head, and this might be controversial, but I reckon a report's better when it's written.
Okay, I'm happy to go with that.
Okay, thank you.
Next
time.
You're going to say questions are better when they're planned. Lame.
Matt, have you got a question to get us on topic?
Yeah.
I write it first. Like a pro, mate. I'm a pro, girl.
Yeah. That might be the fastest regret face we've ever seen.
I'm a pro, girl. Hates himself. Hey, you know, we do usually ask as well. There's always a question you ask at the start.
How are you?
He does always ask that. He's so sweet.
No, you want me to ask this. I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask these lovely people.
Give us a round of applause if you've heard Do Go On before.
I've got a follow-up question.
Okay.
Give us a round of applause if you are a parent of one of the Do Go On panelists tonight.
That was your mum. Your mum.
Apparently, they're all here.
All the parents are here.
All six are here, Connor. Can you believe that?
We came of the, from other people.
Of it's the amazing. Six, how many do you reckon have heard the show before?
Four. Ooh, it's very kind of you.
You've aimed way too high. Way too high.
It's two. And they're my parents. So some would argue superior parents. Anyway, no, that wasn't the follow-up question. It was, give us a round of applause if you've never heard this show before. A few people, okay.
And I'm proud of it.
I'm proud. Fuck yeah, good for you. Thank you for coming. Have you been dragged along by someone else? And thank you for coming. We hope this is kind of fun for you.
She was dragged along.
Is it fun? You're having fun.
We'll check in every 5 minutes.
Did my dad bring you here?
That'd be
well,
weird.
She looks confused. Okay, maybe. Maybe. Anyway, so welcome if you've never heard the show before. Basically, what it is one of us this week, Matt, is going to report on a topic suggested by a listener. Jess and I are going to interject and slow him down for the next 45 minutes or so. And Matt, you've told me that it is quite...
you went blank. Yeah. You zoned out.
You've told me it's quite a long topic.
Come here.
Well, an interesting one.
Yes, it is long and interesting.
Good stuff.
Is it another fucked one?
Yes. More fucked than before. Yeah.
Okay, this is our fourth live show, obviously, in a row. The first three ended in death. Can we go four from four?
Yes.
Yeah.
It also middles with death, sort of starts with a bit of death. Death sprinkled throughout. But then it finishes with some death.
Matt's report on World War II. A lot of death.
I feel like Matt's in the dark.
That's, yeah, in so many ways, yes.
We could all shift a little bit.
I'm doing you a favour, Shane, who's filming it. You're welcome. There we go, it's better.
Shane is stoked now. Big favour for Shane. You lucky duck. All right.
All right, let's do it. Look at later.
Here is the question.
And the question gets us onto topic.
Well.
Yeah. When you if you're explaining, just explain to my parents because they don't know what podcasts are.
I'm not.
This is
going
to be
sure.
Inside the internet tonight, Mum. All right. I also don't understand podcasts. So the question to get us on topic here today. What I'll be surprised if you know this, although David is German related, so maybe...
German name, that's the only relation.
It's got German heritage is all. A few people leaning into their friends going, he's a Nazi.
Not a Nazi.
Is that what happened there? Yeah. Which is, I was only bringing that up to say that is not the case.
It's not,
yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Used to be a Nazi.
I was never a Nazi. Never a Nazi.
He's a reformed Nazi, guys. He's one of the good ones.
Yeah, one of the few good Nazis.
A few good Nazis. Yeah.
The Dave Warnke story. No, untrue. Okay, German related.
Before the show started, your mum came up to you and goes, you're not going to swear today, are you, Dave? And then she goes, I hope you fucking will.
Yeah.
It's good
My
fun.
My mum is cool. Shuckaluckin. That happened last week. Anyway,
on with this fucking report, eh? Mrs. Warnke, you fucking legend, all right?
Too far, the second one, yeah.
Calling her a legend.
No, a fucking legend. It's aggressive. Anyway, go on with the question.
Question is, what event led to the hanging of three cages on the St. Lombardi Church in Munster, Germany? Is that how you pronounce Munster? It's got an umlaut over the... What?
Munster.
Munster. Auf Deutsch, ja? Si, senor!
He's such a linguist. I did not know you knew that.
That's freaking some Deutsch. Don't worry about that.
That was the fastest reaction time Matt Stewart has ever had. It was like...
Yeah, how did you say Munster?
Munster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We are the fashion capital. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So das Kapital.
Do you guys know what event led to the hanging of three cages on the St. Lombardi Church in Munster,
three
Germany?
Three cages.
What, of what, chickens? What are we talking about?
Yeah. Empty death cages.
You figure stuff out quicker than... The old death cages.
Well, that's our band name.
Do you know it's got Munster in the name?
Is it the Munster...
Yes.
Story.
Munster... If I could just have a quick look over here. Rebellion?
Yes.
Well done.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm not the dumb one.
This topic was suggested... That's pretty true, to be honest. Depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not dumb.
Geography.
You're not dumb on the streets like Dave.
Yeah. But I'm dumb in the sheets.
I didn't leave myself anywhere to move there, did I? Yeah.
I'm also dumb in the sheets, so it's a trifecta. There's a third thing I'm dumb at. We'll not reveal.
I'm Mensa in the sheets. All right.
Packing a 150 plus IQ on the sheets, all right.
That's fun.
Anyway, Matt was saying, who suggested this topic that we've all heard of?
Noah Davis.
Oh.
At Sheepsake on Twitter. All right, great. You in today, Noah? Good. Good to hear. Good to hear from you, mate. Well done. Well, you'll be listening at home, Noah. Thanks so much for the suggestion. I do appreciate that. Okay, so the Munster Rebellion, that's going to fuck me all day, but anyone...
Lucky you're a Mensa in the sheets. Sorry, mums.
And dads. All right. Yeah. Feminist. Sorry, Dad, I'm a feminist. I'm not sorry for that, Dad. I will not apologise. Nah, good on us. All right, fuck, we haven't started yet. All right.
I'm having a great time, though.
So I leaned pretty heavily on a couple of resources, so I thought I'd just name check them at the top. There's a book called The Taylor King, The Rise and Fall of the Anabaptist Kingdom of Munster.
What a lengthy title.
Anthony Arthur.
Well, you read a book.
No, he...
To be honest, I read the blog.
You read the blurb of the book.
There was a blog by a woman named Karen Ann called German Girl in America, and she summarised it, so... Right. But I cast, you know, give props to the first guy as well. And also this article on Mental Floss called Why Three Man-Sized Cages Hang from a Medieval German Church Steeple. Man-sized. Oh, a little hint there.
Wow, these are big
How
chickens.
How many chickens? Wow. So obviously they'll be in the show notes, those references. Anyhow, on with the report. I've written that there. Okay. Before we get into the rebellion, it's worth mentioning the Reformation. You guys familiar with that?
Yep.
Probably deserves its own report. I really didn't know anything about it. I know it's a big thing in European Christianity, but I read about it briefly. Just very briefly, it was a big hullabaloo, okay?
Did you write that?
Yeah.
How do you spell hullabaloo? Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
In the Christian world, kicking off in 1517 by a monk named Martin Luther. Pretty famous name. The Reformation probably does need its own episode.
And here it is now.
But basically what he did, he had a bunch of questions about the church and how it was being run, and he nailed those to the front door of a church or some shit, and...
Sounds about right.
An example of one of his beefs was that he didn't think saints should be worshipped, but he never saw bloody Nicky Winmar play. That's my joke of the report. Got it in early today.
Oh, we've just heard the saints are a joke, mate. And you
someone bleeding you know what from to the do. Head, so...
Yeah, I'm not sure if you told us earlier that you are cosplaying, but when you walked in, you are bleeding profusely from the head.
Is your cosplay a nerd idiot? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it. I love football.
Nah, good on you. You look great.
A football.
Look
great. Yeah.
I love the football.
Yeah. So good.
So, Luke, you don't really. Oh, well, they're worse than fine, but they are. They just see the results of that. They had a bloody.
Matt, we have an hour. Okay. Yeah. Both
came
of you
out of nowhere
okay.
for a draw, which is better than a loss. Yes. So Luther's list of beefs, commonly called the 95 Theses, kicked off a bunch of splintering within the church, and a heap of different schools of Christianity started up. With different takes on the Bible's teaching. A couple of the groups were the Lutherans, obviously named after him, and the Calvinists, which I guess were named after Calvin. But then, I guess. Anyone disagree? All right. But the main splinter... they might have been all about white goods. I don't know. All right. But the...
People
you hear
reacting,
that wild
yeah.
ride over there? Whoa.
They reacted like you'd said something really deeply political. But like, Kelvin...
And I don't apologise for that. Sorry, Dad. But the main splinter group we're talking about today was a more radical group called the Anabaptists.
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 Named
Anabaptist.
After...
Anna...
And the Baptists. Great band.
It translates to something like re-baptized.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Or baptized again, or Josie and the Pussycats, yep. Conrad Grebel founded the Anabaptists around 1523, based around the idea that baptism doesn't really count unless the baptized person is beyond the age of reason. Which is that classic Johnny Farnham song. If I had time, I was going to get Webby to cue that up, but fuck. Webby, you... If you can get age of reason, I'll say that phrase again later.
He just went...
Consider it done.
Fuck, he's the best in the biz.
Now, the question is, what is the age of reason?
Back then it was like 4.5, I think. But no, it's... No, like, I think back then I was genuinely like 14 or something. Today it'd be maybe like 14.5. But I think 14 and 9 months. Yeah. Anyone work supermarkets? I think that makes sense to me. Getting baptized when you're a baby is a kind of a weird. I was, you know, it's like I had very little say in that, mum and dad. Anyway, but apparently this was a really controversial idea at the time. Many Christians did not like it, as it meant that babies or children who died would never be able to make it to heaven.
Oh, that's
because
a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, surely you just go, all right, babies and kids get into heaven easy. And then,
but what age do you cut off for the heaven entry?
Yeah, good point.
Buddy, you know?
That's tough.
It's red tape.
Around this...
Everywhere. All that Christian red tape.
All that Christian red tape.
I should tell Mum and Dad, it's a real hot start. That all the laughs come early, and then we get into some facts, right? We sort of what I call the plateau. And then we bring it home strong. So don't
just
think I haven't lost them. I'm just building. This is all part of a build. I've got a tiger mum and a tiger dad. Okay. Anyone know that? All right.
No.
What does that mean?
And you know the little girls who go into like beauty pageants, they have a mum who's like going, be hotter young woman or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. Oh, come on. They're beyond the age of reason. It's okay.
Be hotter young woman.
That's why I'm not saying it's a good thing.
I know.
Okay.
Has your mum ever said the phrase, do you be hot a young woman? Is that what you meant?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh. Okay. So who is this Griebel. Is that his name?
Basically, don't mention him again. All right.
Okay. Struck from the record.
When I say basically, I do not mention him again. All right. So around this time, the Bible was starting to be democratized. It had now been translated into languages that common people spoke, rather than just Latin and Egyptian or whatever. Probably not Egyptian, to be honest. Probably just Latin, I think. Anyway, Hebrew, sure. No commoners speak that, no doubt about that. I have some doubt, I have no idea. Anyway, so it had been translated into a bunch of different languages, and the invention and spread of the printing press, the Gutenberg or something like that?
You probably mispronounced that, mate, was it? Munster, correct, okay. Big invention, yeah.
But it meant that information was now being able to be spread around the commoners, the peasants, right? And the Bible as well. Finally, they could actually read it rather than just have a priest going, yeah, no, the Bible says, give me all your money. It does. It does say that. I swear to God. God told me. All right. So now they're reading and going, hang on, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, whoa, where's my money,
Jesus was
priest?
All about everyone's equal and stuff. This is wild, right? So they're starting to interpret it a bit differently to how they've been taught. One part of the Bible Anabaptists interpreted differently was to see themselves as citizens of God's kingdom, right? Meaning that, you know, all of earth was God's kingdom. People, I'll read what I'm written instead of trying to paraphrase. Meaning that the church and the government had no real power over them in their eyes. They were also not able to work for the government, right? Couldn't get jobs like that. This was also seen as radical as the church and state. Yeah, a lot of snowboarders. We're Anabaptists, true story. True.
What's that face? It's like regret face, but it's constipated regret
face. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot of things right now. The church and state didn't really like that. Because at the same time, the Holy Roman Empire, which included the Empire of Germany, was the ruling class. So they didn't like the idea that their power was being stripped in the eyes of the Anabaptists. Another belief of the Anabaptists was that they got from their interpretation of the Bible was that all men were equal before God, like I was saying, right? This was seen as being super radical out there at the time.
Oh, sorry.
Super radical. Super radical, double.
Double shucks.
Shucks.
And if you thought that was radical, what they meant by men was humans. Men and women, all equal.
What?
In the 1500s, wild. Scary.
Scary?
And it was really scary for the ruling class. Poor men and women were meant to be equal to rich men. Heresy, they said. Mm. You're evil for saying that, basically. Mm-hmm. They didn't like it. Mm-mm. Burn them sort of stuff, mm-hmm. I guess. While these ideas were not loved by officials of church and state, the idea that all people were equal gained popularity as it spread through the peasant world. Obviously, it was a pretty nice thing for them to hear that they were equal to everyone else. They didn't deserve to be in poverty, necessarily.
That would be a nice thing to hear.
It would be what a nice thing to hear.
Yeah.
In 1524, the ideas had gained so much momentum that they sparked a peasant rebellion. Thousands died, and there was a lot of destruction. It lasted about a year before the peasants were beaten back down.
Not very successful.
But, I mean, they lasted a year, and they didn't have an they formed their own army with pots and pans and stuff, I guess.
Everyone, grab a pot.
I don't know, I assume that's what... All right, I'm bailing on a lot of thoughts here today. In 1529, the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, called for all Anabaptists over the age of reason... to be killed.
Damn, he's good.
He is so good.
Despite this, the Anabaptists continue to grow as a movement. Where does Munster come in to all of this, you might ask? Well, give me a fucking chance.
He wrote it down.
I'm about to get to that.
You wrote that down.
You're giving away a little too much now. Bob,
you literally went,
huh? Yeah, a little thing between you and me, all right?
Fuck, we're cute.
Munster had some degree of autonomy from the church, though it was overseen by a Prince Bishop. What a fun title that is. Prince Bishop who answered to the Emperor Charles V.
Can you get my water when you go down to put yours down?
Oh, yeah. Does everyone have a drinks break?
Thank you, peasant boy.
You're welcome, Prince Bishop.
The Catholics of the city were being squeezed out by the Protestants, who were slowly taking over the city. First, the Lutherans, led by a former Catholic priest named Bernard Rothman. And the Lutherans were fairly moderate Protestants compared to the Anabaptists. Rothman was sort of leading a bit of a mini-revolution, which attracted more and more Protestants to the city. At first, it was the Lutherans, but eventually the Anabaptists got wind that some cool shit was going on, you know, a bit of a revolution. They wanted in, right?
Oh, the Anabaptists, they go wherever radical things are happening.
Basically. And I think they also kind of went, oh, things are happening over there. Yeah, well, I've just heard from God that Munster is the new heaven on earth sort of thing.
Yeah.
They were very flexible like that. Well done. A man named Franz von Waldeck, which is a great name.
Very good. I like any Franz.
Yeah. Any Franz, any Von. Any Waldeck. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes. I love a Von. So, not Yvonne. Fuck off, Yvonne.
Any Yvonne's in. Yeah. Funny not to respond to that.
Any Franz Von's in. Maybe our friend up the back. Very good.
I got no idea what that means.
Do you have a German name? Your name is Niet. All right. Go on, you Niet.
So von Waldeck was appointed Prince Bishop in 1532, and he becomes a pretty key player in the rebellion, or the opposite side of the rebellion. The power dynamic has shifted a long way since the Protestants moved to town, and the Protestants wanted this reflected on the city council. Is this amusing? It's a lot of death going on here.
I just moved to town for some reason, sounded funny. I don't know why.
The Protestants are back in town.
Yeah.
I'm sure you thought about that.
Bam. Yeah. And earlier when he said heaven on earth, I just thought, ooh, baby, do. Yeah.
You know, I saw
Webby, you really got her, okay?
Yeah. I saw Belinda Carlisle play
Did
at the
you?
Zoo.
Oh, wow.
So good. Heaven on earth, baby.
Don't call me baby.
Oh, Webby again, very slow. Oh,
why isn't Madison Avenue ready to play? I just don't get this guy.
So the Anabaptists and the Protestants raided the Prince Bishop's home and only backed down when they were allowed onto the city council. From there, they forced an election to load up the council even further with their own people. Mm-hmm. So they were taking over this town.
Right.
Pantera style. Webby? Right. Despite the how many people do you reckon have been to see Pantera and Belinda Carlisle? I'm fucking unique. Anyway. Despite the Anabaptists believing all men are equal, one man, Jan, how would you say Jan in German?
Jan,
good. Jan Matthias rose to become their leader by 1533.
How would you say Jan?
That felt like a really good interaction.
It was.
It was efficient, we got a result.
Yep.
Jan, that's changed my life, man. January.
So
Jan was a fan of violence, loved it, seemingly, right? And he led the group to banish the Prince Bishop at sword point.
Ooh.
Never heard that phrase before.
Sword point.
He's got a sword at his chest and he's just walking him to the edge of town.
Yeah.
1 meter out and swords away. I'm trusting you not to come back in.
I read elsewhere that he was like, he saw the writing on the wall and he goes, all right, I'll go.
So they'd written it on the wall as well.
It was clear. It was a clear instruction.
With a sword.
Just chiseled it out, yeah.
Zorro style.
Get out. Fuck off.
Either way, he was out of the town and a little PO'd, to say the least.
Yep. P.O.
I was afraid I was going to say po'd. Gotta put a dot in there. Anyway. Mass Anabaptist baptism was now inflicted onto the people of Munster.
Anabaptist baptism.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was they were forced. The people of the town were forced to be baptized Anabaptist style, right? Whether they were on board or not. That's right. What forced, I guess, means. Yes. The Catholics that remained were now leaving in droves, and as some were, some of the more moderate Protestants, like the Lutherans, were starting to piss off as well. The abandoned homes were taken over by the Anabaptists, and the takeover was now pretty much complete. The Anabaptists had the town. The Prince Bishop was out. But it was a walled-off city. It still is, Munster, right? So great for protecting you, but also if you got an army outside, which the Prince Bishop did, he was able to
surround
them and lock them in, right? Cut them off, make moats, make it very hard for them to get anything in and out, right? So he was in a pretty strong... They were in a strong spot, sort of, but in every way apart from having their supplies cut off, yes.
So, like, when the Coles delivery truck would rock up, the Prince Bishop would be like... And they would.
Yes.
And then they wouldn't get their veggies.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Oh, that's so sneaky.
So he was fuming out there, the Prince Bishop, setting up the blockade. And he did have a few cracks at bombarding the whole setup there. But they held pretty strong, the Anabaptists. They were sort of reinforcing the walls and holding pretty strong. And Matthias was starting to set up a bit of a proto-communist society. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds fucking sick, right? Doesn't it sound great? Proto. I got proto because proto, Iggy Pop's like proto-punk. So I thought that maybe I could take proto from there and put it on a communist. Someone will email in. Felt good. Felt real good, to be honest. I reckon we could wrap it up there. That felt...
where else can it go? I mean, they're surrounded. They're all starving to death. End scene.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Great. Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so it was sort of, it was long before communism had come up. What's that big dog marks? It was hundreds of years away from coming in to existence.
Big dog Karl Marx. Great. That dog had a great beard. Great beard. Which is true. Karl Marx did have a great beard. Do you guys know his beard?
And he was a dog.
Yeah. The beard's the impressive part of that fact, but anyway.
As everyone was seen as equal, everyone's belongings were pulled. Food, clothing, etc. were all put in a big storage areas and shared equally amongst everyone.
If they don't share them, they take everyone's clothes, put them in. Now no one has clothes. We're all equal. No food? No one has food. Equal.
What do you think about Jan? Are you thinking, like, in my head, I'm like, is this guy, as I'm reading along, I'm going, is this guy just some opportunistic guy who's seen... Because he was a baker from another town, right? Now he's leading. I thought maybe he's just seen this opportunity to use Anabaptism to get power, right? As all bakers bloody want. And I was wondering that, but then I read this and I realised that he really did believe in it, right? On Easter Sunday in 1534, Jan Matthias told of a vision he had. In it, God spoke directly to him, telling him that he should fight von Waldeck's army single-handedly, which he did, believing he was the next Gideon. Right?
Gideon. Single-handedly against an army.
Yes. No, he had a very small group, which single-handedly,
it's not single-handedly
meant,
it
meant
it?
Different things back then. I think he had six of them against an army of hundreds and thousands. Hundreds or thousands. Fairy bread. He was...
Just one hand.
Try and single-handedly take them. It's hard, man. All right. They get everywhere. On paper, it was a suicide mission, but in reality, it was also a suicide mission. He was killed very quickly.
Six people versus hundreds or thousands.
Yes. He was beheaded and had his head and genitals nailed to the city gate.
Do you reckon as his head was coming off, he was thinking, fucking hell, God. This is not what we agreed on.
You sold me a pup, God. That's a saying, isn't it? Anyone? Oh, boy. Swear that's a saying.
Sold me a pup.
Sold me a pup.
Sold me a pup? That's your parents. That's a made-up Stuart phrase. It is literally your parents. Hi, guys. What does sold me a pup mean?
Sold him a dog.
Yep, that clarifies it.
Dud?
A dud, yes.
Oh, how are pups bad?
You're mispronouncing dud.
So anyway, yeah, the genitals on the nail to the wall, nice subtle message. I think that message, come at me, bro.
How many... How many nails?
Big old screw.
Wow.
This... I don't know what you wanted. What did you want from me there? I don't know. That was a real dodgy...
Yeah, I sold you a pup. Sold you. Sorry about that.
I wish there was a term I could use to describe what you just did to me there. This left a little power vacuum. Obviously, their leader, Jan, was now dead, so I left a little power vacuum inside the city walls.
Also,
so
there's no baker.
Yes.
It's fucked up in there.
There's a baker and power vacuum. which was tough for the fairy bread industry. Anyway. So many hundreds of thousands... Just on butter, it's weird. Tubs of butter. But they may do. Spoon it out. All right. So up stepped another unlikely sounding leader, this time a man named Jan van Leyden.
It's got a van, not
or
a van.
Or is that van?
What?
Well, if Jan is... Okay. Jan Van? Jan Van Laardan. This guy, obviously a baker, an unconventional leader. This next guy obviously made for it. He was a tailor from Holland. who was the titular tailor from Anthony Arthur's book that I mentioned earlier. This guy's the big guy. This is the main man. The big player.
Okay, and we've been going for...
quite a while.
Yeah.
This came about as a goldsmith named August Johann Duschenschösten. Thank you.
It's just easier if you tell him you nailed it.
I nailed that scrotum to the door of the city, so to speak. Old family saying. Like old dad used to always say. So August Johann Duschenschösten prophesied that Van Laden should rule as king. He was a prophet, this
goldsmith is a prophet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real ragtag band, I love it. Van Laden heard that and he was on board. He's like, yeah, right, I am the next big guy to come in, all right. He said, he goes, oh, that's funny, I was also told by God that I was meant to rule until Jesus' return. I am he. It's interesting, this is something I found interesting, that although men and women were supposedly seen as equal in society, the leader always ended up being a man. Sorry to get all feminist cuck boy on you. But that, is my role. That's my role in this. Sorry, Dad. Dad believes in equality too. I'm selling him a pup. No, I'm not. That's not right. It's not quite right, is it? I misused your saying, Dad. Sorry about that. Dad used to sell pups. It was a tough gig. We went from town to town. They were all duds.
They're all duds.
Runts of the litter. Anyway, Jan van Laden, which is a fun name to say, got to work quickly disbanding the council and installing a group of 12 elders to rule with him as the main man, right? A bit like the old story of Jesus and his 12 disciples. Though I don't think Jesus was quite as bloodthirsty. Before the siege, Munster was a prosperous city, but the siege was taking its toll. Supplies were running low, but despite this, Jan the Man... and it didn't work as well, now that I know it's not Jan the Man. When I wrote that, it was fucking sweet.
No, we're going to call him Jan the Man.
Jan the Man.
Jan the Man.
So Jan and his close associates were living like kings, having daily feasts, while the rest got by on meagre rations.
So this is the equal society.
Yes.
Good. They've worked out how to do communism properly there. Right.
Proto-communism. Yeah. I read in some places that there were rumours of people having to eat rats and even some reports of cannibalism. So things were pretty tough outside the feasts.
You would not get eaten.
I get that. What, because I'm not a rat?
Wait, isn't that why you would get eaten?
Because I am a rat, yeah. Yeah.
There's just no meat on him.
But I mean, compared to a rat, I mean, if it was him or a rat, who do you choose?
Please choose the rat.
I don't know what the right answer is.
So Jan's now, he's living in luxury, right? He was even starting to call himself the king of the world.
All right.
And not in like a romantic comedy.
Sorry, is Titanic
a...
Titanic a comedy to you?
What did I do there?
Are you calling Titanic a romantic comedy?
Do they say that in Titanic?
Yeah. What are you thinking of?
What is that, if not a romantic comedy?
Are you thinking of You've Got Mail? You've
Billy
Got Mail
Zane.
Also.
Billy Zane is a riot in that. Remember when he pushed the kids out of the way to get on the boat? Man, I was crying with laughter. Zane, you have done it again. Diabolical. You tell me that's not a comedy? Bloody chuckle fest and... That I loved it, that bit near the end where the iceberg... Oh, my God. I don't remember much of that movie, to be honest.
You've probably got the crux of it right there in the end there, I think.
Oh, actually, there was... The night I saw... I saw Titanic at the cinemas, right? I'm a very old man, and
I also saw it at the cinema, and it was harrowing.
All right, does anyone remember this movie? At one point,
does anyone remember Titanic? It's an obscure art house film. You guys heard of it? You guys heard of it?
So during the movie, all right, if you haven't seen it, one block your ears if you don't want to know how it goes, but. The ship hits like this sort of, it's like an icy rock or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes down, right? And then before it goes down, it goes vertical. And it yeah, you remember that bit? And a guy falls and he hits this big metal thing and goes, bing! The cinema laughed so hard. The whole cinema. Does anyone remember that bit? Yeah. Fucking so good. Is that a meme or something now?
Have you got my
Should
hat
will be. Go on? Meso, can you make that a meme? Thanks, mate.
A little bit. So good. Funniest song I've ever heard. So funny. Oh. Thank you.
This next paragraph's probably my favourite one from the Mental Floss article. Read it verbatim because it's bloody all good. It's as funny as any scene from Titanic. As life inside of Munster became increasingly grim, Jan van Leyden promised his subjects that God would deliver them from the Prince Bishop's besieging army. This is a quote from him. God will smite them in their hearts so that they will run away, he predicted. But by Easter, he clarified that he meant his promise of deliverance in a metaphorical and spiritual sense, not literally. Oh no, I thought I actually meant he was going to run away. Nah. He'll still be there killing us.
But mentally, he'll be there killing us.
Yeah. That is awful.
Funnier in the reading by myself. You guys used to be bloodthirsty, but what happened?
What was that?
What happened?
What happened?
I was doing a bop impersonation. What happened?
Is that me?
Yeah. Bop, what happened?
It's pretty good. I'm adorable. What happened?
I'm adorable. As men and women were seen equal, a lot of snowflake MRA types left Munster. Since the rebellion began, leaving a ratio of nearly 3 women to every man. Snowflake.
Woo! Wait, idiots? It's not good for us. It's good for the dudes, you know?
Despite this, Jan van made it mandatory for everyone of age, of reason.
What's it for?
Snoozing there, Webby, snoozing.
What are you... He's playing a game. Oh, okay. Sorry. It looked like you were playing a crossword.
Sorry, Jess. I think I misspoke there. Despite this, Jan made it mandatory for everyone of the age of reason. Oh, you fuck. You sold me a bloody pup there. And luckily, my dad sang's got us out of a few binds. So he said that everyone of the age of reason... All right.
John Farnham played at my work Christmas party.
Oh, Johnny, that is rough.
It was fucking sick.
That would have been sick for you, but shit for him.
Oh, yeah. And the entire band was there.
That's sadder than the ending of Titanic.
Yeah.
Which is the thing we were just talking about. Despite... This guy gets it.
All right, I really want to know what's happening to these people beyond the age of reason. What's happening?
Oh, yeah. Bloody hell, I've had a few run-ups for this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So mandatory for everyone of the age of reason to be married.
What, so if you're 4.5 plus?
As far as I know, yes. And as there wasn't even numbers, he made it cool for polygamy to happen as well. So he ended up marrying 15 or 16 wives himself.
That's too many.
Including Jan Matthias's widow. He was...
Bloody one wife, bloody nagging at you. How about 15 of them? Oh, my God. Yippee, 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 yippee. You know what they're like.
Through this whole time, he was ruthless with any dissenters, having them all killed. So he was. There was a lot of death through this whole period. Anyone who's going, I don't know if you're nailing this, mate, dead, right? According to Mendel Floss, the polygamy announcement drew major backlash. On the night of July 30th, 1534, 47 conspirators led by a blacksmith named Heinrich Mollenike attempted to overthrow the city government. They managed to take Jan prisoner and hole him up in the city hall, but the majority of Munster didn't rally to the conspirators' cause. Loyalists surrounded the mutineers, forcing them to surrender and free Jan. The 47 were all killed. When one of Jan's wives disagreed, how much death that I'm just skipping over 47 people. When one of his wives disagreed with how he was going about things, he publicly beheaded her and danced around her corpse.
Also in my head, he's dancing like Beyonce. Like it's really good dancing.
He's got two backup dancers.
Yeah. And everyone's like, woo, that's good.
I reckon, I think at this point you could argue that he's started to lose some of the classic Christian values.
At this point we could argue, okay, yep.
He's finally jumped the shark there. Franz von Waldeck was still waiting with his army outside the town walls.
Oh man, he must be so pissed off by now.
He's having a few cracks, but they're holding him back, right? He's also, I'll just read. I keep forgetting that I got a whole script here. They had, they tried a few times, but the defences held up. He wasn't super keen on straight up storming the gates, as the peasant rebellion from a few years prior left his army in a weakened state, and he wasn't keen to lose more men. He even had to ask for help from other rulers from nearby who were willing to kick in a few dollars or soldiers to the cause. They feared a successful rebellion at Munster would lead to further rebellions in other cities. So they're like, we'll chip in for sure, buddy. The Anabaptists tried different tactics along the way to defeat Prince Bishop. According to Mendel Floss, at one point, an Anabaptist woman named Hilaire Faken...
It's a beautiful language. It really is.
He did like a little breath, like a Faken.
So she hatched a plan to assassinate von Waldeck and break the siege. She was inspired by the biblical character of Judith, who during the siege of Bethulia seduced the attacking general... I didn't need to say it like that. I got on a real run of weird German pronunciations. Holofernes, and beheaded him in his sleep. Early on the morning of June 16, Faken snuck out of Munster to seduce von Waldeck, but unlike Judith, she was quickly discovered, captured and executed.
I imagine if he just knocked her back, he was like, no, thanks. She's like, this is my plan.
Yeah.
No, you want me, you want me. No.
Is that how you do it, Dave? Nah, you want me.
I thought you meant, is that, I thought you were asking, is that how I reject the hordes of people that throw themselves at me? I'm like, no.
No, that's how you throw yourself.
Remember, Bob, he's an idiot in the sheets.
It's true, yeah. Yeah, I don't get when people are hitting on me. I'm like, no. What are you doing?
According to Karen Ann...
That's never happened.
Yes, it has. It hasn't happened.
Not so brutal now, was it?
No, it was brutal. All those times it didn't happen. It was really brutal.
Just remembered we're filming.
Yeah, I'll make a gif of that. That'd be good.
According to Karen Ann, the Anabaptists were still confident of victory despite the hardships. Here's maybe my favourite paragraph from her article. Obviously, my favourite from Mendel Floss bloody nailed it, so I reckon this one too. She wrote this: they even built an early version of a tank, a heavily reinforced wagon that might have actually broken through the bishop's lines if they hadn't already eaten the horses needed to pull it.
All right, guys, we're ready to go. Grab the horses. One thing.
Remember that dinner we had last week?
That was fucking great, yeah. Where are we going to have more of that?
Ooh.
What less neighing coming from the pen this week? What's up with that?
In Germany, they nine.
Nine.
What did you eat today. Like, you are so hyped.
You think that? Okay, yeah. Saints didn't lose. It's true. You guys wouldn't know what it feels like to not lose one time. King of the world, baby! I was calling Connor baby, not you baby. Yeah. I've made a huge mistake. Probably unsurprising you all, maybe not. How do you guys think the Anabaptists are going to go on this? Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I mean, that's why we obviously all definitely knew what Anabaptists were. Yeah. So they're going to do very well.
They've got God on their side, Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Good point. Good point. The Anabaptist confident was misplaced. Said that wrong. The Anabaptist's confidence was misplaced. In May of 1535, Henrik Gresbeck, an Anabaptist carpenter, tried to flee Munster, but was caught by von Waldeck's army. Rather than executing him, von Waldeck cut a deal, allowing him to keep his life in exchange for helping the army take back the city. On the night of the 25th of June, Gresbeck led 300 soldiers through a gate in the city wall that he knew was poorly guarded. Right, he knew this was a little weak point in their defence. Von Waldeck's army slashed their way through the streets of Munster, killing more than 600 Anabaptists before the rebels surrendered. This might be one of our highest death counts.
Oh, I really think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bernard Rotham, who I mentioned earlier, he was one of the guys who kicked this all off, preaching the different interpretations of the Bible. Mm. He's thought to have died in the fight, though his body was never found.
So he's still alive.
But the other leaders were captured. They weren't killed, the three main men, and the punish dished out to them was pretty full on. So
here come the cages!
So if you're a bit squeamish, maybe fast forward the next few minutes. Obviously, those in the crowd tonight are just going to have to go with it. I haven't gone into... One of the things I read was full-on detail. I've gone with sort of a midway mark here. Jan van Leyden and his main offsiders, Bernard Kipperdolling and Bernard Kretching. Two Bernards, that can't be right. Maybe it is. What are the odds of that?
Can't be two.
Two Jans, two Bernards. What the fuck is this weird city? Would that be right, sir? Is that everyone over there? Bernards and...
Commandant.
Thank you. Any Bernards in tonight? I've never met a Bernard.
Haven't you? Oh, you've never lived.
And he's so old.
I didn't say that. I didn't throw my voice over there.
Disappointing, Jess, to be honest. No, but true. Well done. So they were tortured for many hours, publicly stripped of skin with hot tongs.
I did not think that's what they were going to be stripped of. I thought it was going to be like their titles or something.
Oh, yeah, they started with the titles. I skipped the titles. Skin. Yeah, that's fucked. Don't think about that too much. I've so far... But you know how you can think something like that but not make your brain picture it?
I'm not able to do that.
I went straight to image.
So far, so good. Connor's acting it out in the front row. So maybe think about that before you go to bed tonight.
Stop. Stop it, Connor. No.
Bits and pieces of their bodies were removed before they were eventually put out of their misery with hot rods plunged through their hearts.
Oh, at that point, that's good.
That's not great.
Someone said something fun in the audience.
Like a car, a hot rod.
Oh. Oh, that's good.
Dave, someone just drove into them.
Into their heart.
Precision driving, too. Well done. Hard without horses. Early hot rods. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you've eaten all the horses, you invent a hot rod. That's how it works.
Their bodies were placed in three lard cages.
Lard?
Yeah.
I don't think I said a single word of that sentence right. Their bodies were placed in three large cages, measuring 7 feet tall and a yard wide and deep.
A yard wide and deep?
A yard wide and deep, yes. Which were hoisted up the St. Lombardi Church, St. Lombardi can't be right either. How's that meant to be said? Doesn't matter. St. Lombardi Church. See, I was pretending there was Lombardi bit I was struggling with, pronunciation-wise, and I flipped it around. The old thingamajig trick. All right. As I always call it. So it was basically a message. Don't fuck with us. Look at them up there, right? How long do you reckon they left the cages up there?
A year.
Still up there.
I mean, that's a long...
Or
it's one year
in
or
between,
5 months.
Yeah.
Well, they did take... They are up there now, but they took them down after 50 years and removed the bones. So they left the bodies in there to rot and eventually cleaned out the bones.
So they're like
50 years
hanging
later.
Up, though.
Yes.
So as the bodies are rotting...
Yes. You don't want to... Yeah, you don't want to walk under there.
Oh. Oh, I freak out when a bit of water from an air conditioner hits me on the face. Imagine that. Don't worry, Dave, it's an air conditioner. Oh. Oh, no. Oh.
The cages went back up, though, and remained on the church for 400 years before World War II and a bombing brought the cages crashing down. People, like, saw the cages and were like, bloody hell, they were sheening. They were such beautiful workmanship, a lot of people noted. Really well put together cages. Interesting fact there. Almost a fun fact. Oh, he's not even sitting there. He's the last episode. He's really dropped the ball today, Webby. There was a discussion about whether or not they should be put back up on the rebuilt church, and it was decided, they said, that they should be in there, up there still to this day, as a little reminder.
Was it the original cages?
Original cages, yeah.
Wow.
Karen Ann finishes her article. I'm coming up to the end here. Karen Ann finishes her article with an interesting story of what caused the rebellion, saying, so obviously to me it just sounded like, you know, just classic people losing their minds on religion, you know.
Classic.
But there's a new theory, and this is a direct quote from Karen Ann. There is a new theory that the rebellion may have come as a result of ergot poisoning. Do you know what ergot is?
No.
Ergot is a fungal growth that spreads on wheat and rye when it's stored in damp places. The result can be mild, like convulsions or sores, but as extreme as hallucinations, sort of like a natural LSD. So there's a theory going around that the whole town is just tripping. So they're hearing God talk to them, and it's just them tripping on moldy oats. Just fun.
Yeah.
They know how to party.
So that's the end of the report. I do have one fun fact if you want it, but I don't know if we have time or not.
Well, you got the time.
We're ready. Is Webby ready for a fun fact?
I think we probably could do it quickly and then we should wrap up.
All right. Drum roll. Yes, here we go.
All right. So obviously a pretty brutal story like this. There's no fun facts directly involved. So I've got a fun fact about the city of Munster. Right.
Munster.
Sorry. Three of the four most successful teams in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championships are from Munster. This is a different city, Munster in Ireland. But we did it.
That's fun! Matt Stewart, ladies and gentlemen, what a great report!
Well done. Well done.
Alrighty, we do have to wrap this up. I can't believe it. Four live shows down, guys.
I know.
Thanks so much for packing it out every week, you guys.
Thank you to everyone who came along. We really appreciate that. Hello. Thank you. We'd like to really thank the European Beer Cafe, our Sandman Webby. Fantastic job. Bianca Pradlin helped us out at the front there, and also to Shane Dunlop who filmed these. Let's give them all a big round of applause. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Carl Chandler for helping us.
Yeah, Carl.
And thank you to Carl. Great man. A great, great man. Usually this is the point where we tell you to come back next week. You can, but we won't be here. So that is up to you. But well, okay, that's it. Thank you so much. And until next time when we do a live show, we'll say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Thank you.
Well,
that's it. That's the show. That was fun.
And that was the final live show of the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yes, we haven't got any other live ones booked in yet, but we've got plenty of plans cooking away.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the surface.
Yeah, there's lots of venues.
Behind the surface.
No one's getting back to our emails, guys. No, that's not true. That's not true.
That's not true. They are beating down our door. Yeah. They're like, please come to our city. And we're like, We're playing hard to get.
Yeah, we're like, Berlin, back off, bitch.
Yeah. Ugh. Paris, never heard of you.
Yeah.
We probably more honestly just haven't looked beyond Melbourne.
Yeah, no, we've all been
quite festivals. Distracted.
It's been coming up for so many months, and now it's gone. You think, oh, I probably should have thought ahead.
Yes, but now we are definitely going to – we've got plans to go everywhere. Certainly Australia's most likely this year, and then hopefully the UK is still – and we're getting so close to our Patreon goal of the US tour. I think we're almost at 65%.
That's crazy.
It's great. Seemed like such an impossible target. Now it seems...
Hey, it feels like next year is a real possibility, which has fucking got me rock hard.
I knew that's where you were going.
It was because I was regretting it before I even said it. Fuck.
Could just say real excited.
I know.
Got me rock happy.
Rock happy. Got my soul hard.
And can we just take this opportunity to say thanks to all the people that did come to the Melbourne shows.
Absolute legends.
By far our biggest shows, and people came and packed it out every single week, which is amazing to us.
And people come from interstate, which blows our minds.
And
people
overseas.
Come from overseas. All right, let me finish the sentence. I was getting to that.
And out of space.
People come from out of space.
Yes, I'll stop you there.
Interdimensional.
Some people came from interstate, Jess. No, it was amazing meeting all these people and, you know, people coming up and telling us how long they've been listening for, and to the crazy, crazy people that are like, I started listening to you 2 weeks ago and now I've listened to all 130 episodes.
Yeah.
And you think, how have you done that?
You're insane.
It's just, oh, wow.
But thank you so much. It's really, it's very humbling and surreal for us to meet you all and you know, you're really lovely people. So thank you.
Yeah. It was really, really good.
Now, enough being genuine. It makes me uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. We should, as we always do at the end of the episode, thank some Patreon supporters.
That's right. We love all of the people that support us through patreon.com/dogoonpod. And if you do that, it really helps the show out, makes us able to spend more time dedicated to these reports and the editing. We get to do stuff like film episodes and upload them, you know, just sort of gives us 1 or 2 days a week that we can devote to the show, which is really, really cool. And in exchange, you get access to exclusive stuff like voting for topics. You get to pretty much dictate a lot of the ideas of the show, what we're going to talk about. And you also get shout-outs. 2 bonus episodes a month now is one of the rewards.
Yeah.
Yes.
So heaps.
Suddenly it's twice.
You get heaps.
Twice as worth your while to get on there. And we also like to thank by name some of the people. Matt, you got some names in front of you?
I do. What should we do this week? Monster related? Maybe how we'd banish these people from the Munster walls.
You've been banished.
Yes, banished. I really like SH words at the mo.
Yeah.
I love
it.
At the mo.
At the mer.
At the mer. Short for moment, Dave. Dave's looking very confused.
I was just Googling it. What does mo stand for?
I didn't sell you a pup there, Dave. Don't worry.
Fuck off with your pups.
So how they've been banished.
How they've been banished.
Someone was banished in the episode.
At sword point.
Okay, great.
At what point are they banished?
Okay, I'm on board now.
All right. First of all, I'd love to thank from Fort Collins in Co., which I think is Colorado.
Oh, wow.
In the United States of America, Sage Hoffman.
Thank you so much, Sage.
Sage Hoffman.
What are you thinking? What sort of...
Jessica, this, don't think. Just go.
Sage.
At Sage Point. That makes sense. I don't know how you got there, but that does make sense. It makes some sort of perverse logic there, don't you think?
Some people are afraid of their own name. They are. They must be.
It's a plant.
I know.
So they're just holding a bushel of sage.
Well, deadly nightshade is a
sage.
Thing. Okay. Oh, shade. That's sage. I'm thinking of shade. Sorry. Fucked it. Fucked it. Sorry, Sage. Okay, so it's Sage Point. Sage has been marched to the edge of the castle and banished from it.
Yeah.
I'd rather leave these walls than see my namesake spice in my face. Is it a spice?
I think it's more
herb.
Like a herb.
It's more of an herb. It's funny. I get confused between herbs and spices. Fuck you, Colonel. I'd also...
Oh my God.
What is the odds of this? Just as I had a look over my shoulder. I'd love to think...
I just looked over too.
I'd love to thank from Warradale, South Australia. This is entirely coincidental. I'd love to thank Chris Lavender.
Okay, let me have a go. Let me have
go
a go.
On, go on,
let me
go
have
on,
a go.
Go on. Knife point.
Sage. Everyone, we don't have anything else in this city. All the swords have been deployed in battle. We don't have anything else to threaten our citizens with. We've only got a whole bucket of sage.
Bucket of it.
Not the bucket of sage, sir. You get out of it, Chris Lavender. You get out. Oh, that is very funny.
That is fantastic.
Oh, I'm looking ahead at my names. Have I got anything good? Oh, you're all disappointing. None of you are plant-based.
Thank you, Chris.
Lavender. I mean, you're not going to. Who's going to be?
I hate the smell of lavender.
Oh, really?
So that would probably work on me.
Do you actually?
It's very pleasant.
I hate it.
So beautiful.
Famously pleasant.
At my high school, there was like a walkway that they called Lavender Walk because there was lavender bushes, and I would always avoid it. I don't like the smell of lavender.
What?
It's
look,
too much.
You and I just are on the same page on a lot of things, but this I just can't get my head around.
Are you disowning me because
I think
of
so.
This petty thing?
Oh, well, you dislike lavender. Wow.
Yeah, it's nice while you guys were mates. Anyway.
That's really ruined the podcast. 131 episodes. Thank you and good night.
Well, do you want to thank some people before you say
goodbye? Before I leave, this is the final time I'll be reading names. I would like to thank from Guy Mia. I believe this is how you say it. Guy Mia Bay in New South Wales. Have you guys heard of that? Or
yeah,
Jai Mia?
Obviously.
Yeah.
We've all heard of Jimmy-a.
Jimmy-a Bay. Let's go with that. New South Wales. I'd like to thank Shani Black.
Shani Black.
Shani Black.
Banished by, don't think, just speak.
Pen point.
Pen point.
Ball point.
Ball,
oh,
po- wait,
ball point.
Wait, hang on. Ball point pen or balls?
The point of the ball.
The point of the
balls. Someone with particularly pointy balls is just waving them.
Why are they pointy?
All right,
pointy?
I'm out.
Yeah, I'd leave too.
I would, I'm yeah. Out. I'd be like, why are they pointy?
Wow, get that checked out.
I'm kind of I'm imagining shiny them triangular black. Then.
And know? They're black too. Black balls.
Black.
Shiny black shiny balls.
Well, people died of a lot of horrible shit back in the Middle Ages, so that may have happened.
Black balls.
Black pointy balls.
Shiny.
Oh no, he's got the dreaded black balls.
Shiny black pointed balls.
Oh, that's for you, Shani Black. Thank you so much for your report, support and report, which one day we'll force you at ballpoint to write when we run out of ideas. And over to London now, I would like to thank Henry Bottolo. Bottolo. Which, I don't know, in the UK, would they call a bottle shop Bottolo?
They call them offies, I think.
Offies, yes. Like an off license.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Well, we call them,
Bottolos.
We call
as
them
well.
Bottolos over here. I'm not sure if you. You're probably more of a Bottello.
What do they call them in America, do you reckon?
Liquor store.
Lico. They probably don't even have a dumb shortening of it. That's more of an English and an Australian thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But from the Henry Bottolo, banished by Whiskey Point.
Whiskey Point. One of those, you know those shot pourers they use at bars?
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah.
He's like, not another shot. I couldn't possibly have another shot. Get it in ya, Henry.
Get it in ya or you get out.
It's the opposite of most bars.
Yeah.
If you stop drinking, you have to leave. But I'm so drunk. Exactly. You have to keep drinking or you're out.
Keep drinking,
Henry. Thanks for your support all the way over in London. We hopefully will visit an offie with you real soon.
Thank you, Henry. If I may have a go.
Please.
If you don't mind.
Bring us home strong.
I would like to thank, from Kings Langley in New South Wales, I would like to thank Jen Vanderbrook.
Jen Vanderbrook.
Jen Vanderbrook, great name.
You know we like a van.
Hmm.
We like a van, don't we?
Oh, Van Point.
Van Point. Oh, yeah, that was easy. I was just talking about how we like that name. But, yeah, I think a van forces Jen out of town.
It sounds like we kidnapped
like
Jen.
A flying V of vans, camper vans, right? So there's one at the front.
Yes.
And then just trailed by two, which is trailed by another two, to be honest,
yeah.
In a V formation. And then those two, right, fanning out slightly more, another two.
How many?
Fans.
When does it stop? How many we got?
How many were in the Mighty Ducks? I reckon it's. Oh, I think it was only three, to be honest. Let's say five.
Five vans.
Because that's also Roman numeral for V is five. So that makes sense.
That
to
makes
me.
Sense. Get out of town, Jen.
And I would like to thank, finally, from Janesville, Wisconsin, Robert Crandall.
Bart's teacher's name's Krabappel? I've been calling her Crandall. Why didn't anyone tell me? I've been making an idiot out of myself.
Got a late Simpsons reference in there. That's good to get him in.
Do you reckon we got one? I did think I did one at the live show. So there you go.
No, I think you did.
You definitely did it a couple at least. Okay, Robert. Force out of town by
PowerPoint.
Oh, presentation.
Yeah.
Presentation on the five reasons Robert should leave.
Yeah, and they're so.
Number six will really surprise you because this is only a five thing to list.
They're so cutting that he's like, well, great point.
Wow,
you're right. Yeah, I should leave.
I never saw myself in this light.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, that's right, Robert. You didn't.
That's right, Robert Crandall. That's a great name.
That makes it sound like it's solid. An intervention, you know? Like, these are the reasons you need to leave. And he's like, fuck, I didn't say it.
And he's like, I didn't have enough time to prepare a PowerPoint presentation on the reasons I should stay. Yeah. So I got to go.
So fair enough.
See ya, Crandall. But thanks for the support over in Wisconsin. How
Thank
awesome.
Thank you, Robert. That's very cool.
I think we're slowly collecting all 50 US states on the Patreon.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Oh, have you checked that?
We should get a
no,
map
I haven't.
Of
that's this. Why, I've covered myself by saying slowly collecting them all.
We should get a map of the United States of America and put a pin in each place we've
like
got.
Like a voodoo sort of thing.
In fact, let's
really
get one of the world. Of the world, because that's, you know, I want our UK ones to feel included, and Australians and New Zealand and
Singapore.
A friend in Lebanon.
Lebanon. All
Hong
over
Kong,
the world.
Egypt.
Yeah, there's people in Egypt.
Gandhi.
Yep.
Or whatever that town was.
Who cares?
Oh, I care. We're talking about...
You were reacting before I'd finished that sentence. You read my bloody mind.
New Zealand, we've definitely...
Gamea Bay. Shawnee Black. Who cares about Shawnee Black? I do.
Right.
Dave does.
Jess does too. It's playing hard to get.
Never play hard to get with Shawnee. She will fuck you up.
Yeah, the pointy balls.
And thanks to everyone that supports the show at Patreon. You guys are very, very good people. All of you.
All of you.
It's the way if you to absolve you of any sins.
Oh, that's
if
right.
If you're feeling guilty about anything.
I'll forgive you for anything. Just chuck a buck in the hat.
Chuck a buck.
Chuck a buck. Chuck a buck. Get rid of all your fucks.
That's right.
Chuck a buck. Don't give a fuck.
Chuck 10 bucks. No fucks.
Catchy.
Yeah, catching on. We're doing well here. All right, we've got to get going because we've got to record another cheeky episode.
Ooh, cheeky.
Ooh, it's going to be a fun one. Jess, we don't know what you're reporting on, so I can't wait for that. But that'll be out next week. But thanks again. Go see Matt in Sydney on May 12th. And until next week, we will say, well, I will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.